Welcome to this podcast from St. James Scottish Episcopal Church in Leith. This is a 25-minute edit of our Sunday morning communion service. For more information, please visit our website, www.stjamesleith.org.uk.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus our Lord. Amen. I'm looking forward to today because it's a small corner which people talk about their lives between Sundays. It's going to be Jane this morning, and we know a lot about Jane's life, so I'm interested in what she's going to mention, what she's not going to mention. Particularly interested whether she's going to mention the fact she used to be a while ago a member of the RTO. Does anyone, actually, Suzanne, can you help us here? We don't know what the RTO is. Could you just give us a wee sign? Does anybody know what the RTO is? The Really Terrible Orchestra. Sorry, Jane, but no longer a member of the Really Terrible Orchestra. But so. It's all coming out now. So I thought that's a funny name, and I think actually the gospel reading is about how later on is about how we describe ourselves, and I think it's a funny name to call yourself the Retail Terrible Orchestra. And it made me think the other way around. So at work at the moment, I'm recruiting for someone to join my team, and oddly enough, they obviously don't know me, but 24 people have applied, and 24 bits of paper all saying, "I'm fantastic. I'm great. I use my excellent people skills to do this, and I cause peace to break out in wherever." You think, that's how they describe themselves. And in the gospel reading, we hear of two people, and Jesus is particularly hard. They describe themselves, and Jesus is particularly hard on the one who boasts and says, "I'm better than the other one." And it made me think, one lesson for me is to be... not pretend with God, not pretend with God, because the RTO, I don't know whether it's really RT or not, I've never heard them, so whether it really is, okay. But I don't know whether the people I'm going to interview are really the best thing since sliced bread. But the thing is that we've just prayed to God from whom no secrets are hidden, so God knows all about us, so not to pretend, not to defend ourselves, to be very real when we talk to God.
My thirst is so long, constantly, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The gospel reading this morning is from Luke chapter 18. Glory to Christ, our Saviour. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Give thanks to the Lord for his glorious gospel.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out to the living God. What does your soul yearn for? What do you long for? What makes you feel faint with longing? What makes your whole being desire something? And don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to say your answers out loud, but there will be lots of different answers for us at different times in life, in different places, in different situations. And as different individuals, we'll all have different answers to that question. We've just sung that Psalm 84 in the beautiful setting that Suzanne brought for us. And as a child growing up, I remember hearing the psalm being read and thinking about what it meant to yearn and long for God, and suspecting that being in God's courts might mean an awful lot of Bible reading, which I experienced as very boring indeed. Over in my small corner, however, I actually spend an awful lot of time thinking about our relationship with the Bible. I know, I need to get out more. But as somebody who's been ordained for 25 years, coming up for 25 at the next anniversary, a long time, I've seen the Bible interacting with people's lives in lots of different ways at crucial points. Point of marriage, point of having a new child, point of death, actually. And in our everyday ups and downs that all of us live through. And it's a real privilege to be able to teach and preach the Bible in one's working life. And for the last 7 years, I've been teaching at the Scottish Episcopal Institute, also known as SEI. And at the Institute, we train, and Ken knows this because he's been part of that for many years too, we train all the ordinands and readers who are coming into the Scottish Episcopal Church as leaders. And lots of people that we've trained over the years and that we've taught are now leading churches across Scotland in the Episcopal denomination, which we belong to here at St. James. And when I start my introduction to preaching course, which I teach most years, I always say to the students, okay, so imagine a continuum, and at one end is, I can't wait to preach, to get up there and speak about the Bible in public, bring it on. And at the other end is utterly terrified, not doing it unless you make me. Of course, we do make them. Now, we do get a spread, but the vast majority of people are at the utterly terrified end of things. What's your relationship with the Bible like? This book that is in so many ways the basis of our faith and the place where we often go to find that God that we were yearning for through the eyes of the psalmist. I'm really interested in that question, how we relate to the Bible, because I think that for most of us, it's very complicated and challenging, actually, if we have a relationship at all. So there's the child that was me earlier being bored and switching off. And maybe for some of us, when we come to this point in the service where we have the Bible readings, we just switch off and think about something else. And for some of us, we're scared of the Bible, not always for the same reasons as the ordinance. Sometimes because when we come to it, we find conflicting views of God. We find images we don't understand and we feel stupid. We find a God who we don't like, or actually we're quite frightened of ourselves, who we don't want. And for some of us, it's just irrelevant. We don't really consider it very much. But I think for a lot of us, whatever our relationship, there's quite a lot of guilt mixed in, because we kind of think that we ought to be really into it if we read it in church every Sunday. And maybe, you know, there's so much of it we don't read in church, we ought to be looking at that from time to time in our own personal relationship with God. But we're just not into it. And maybe we feel a bit guilty about that. Right back there in my childhood, I started to develop that sense of guilt when I felt a bit bad that I didn't want to dwell in God's courts in case it was boring. So there's the complexity in that relationship for a lot of us. On the other hand, though, the Bible's just crammed full of amazing stories and images and pictures and colour. And we sang about that gorgeous image in Suzanne's lovely words from Psalm 84 earlier about the sparrow in all her vulnerability at the point of laying eggs, building her nest as close to God as she could get, because she longed for him so much. Of the swallow, that shifting bird that is always on the wing, wanting to stop in the presence of God. And we as human beings yearning and fainting for God. Some really powerful images in there that immediately make us stop and think. The Bible throbs with these kinds of colourful, powerful, rich, vibrant images. But when we come to it, it so often is boring and confusing. And I know for myself that unless something is going to be fun, I'm not going to stick at it for very long, and I've just learned that. So I really started to think, how can I make some kind of search for God in the pages of Scripture a little bit more fun for myself so that I will do it more often? Now, I'm an inveterate crafter. You name it, I've tried it. I love every sort of creative activity, and I've done lots of it, and I'm always having about 3 or 4, 5, 6 projects on the go. So it occurred to me, and I see people doing this a lot in the USA, though not so much in the UK, that maybe there's a way of combining some kind of creative activity with my study of this book. And so I started to sit and cut and stick and pray and paint and just spread a whole range of media around the place. So I actually started doing this stuff with other people as well, because it was working for me. And then writing study notes with prompts that would help others get in touch with their creativity. And then sourcing and producing craft supplies that would support that and would link in with various Bible themes. And I send study notes and supplies all around the world now, actually, Australia, New Zealand, America, and various places in Europe, as well as all over the UK from top to bottom. And I run workshops in churches all over the place as well. Last year, I ran them from, and I love this alliteration, from Kelso to Kirkwall, and lots of places in between. So it's really exciting because I think lots of people are catching the vision and finding that Bible study can actually be fun and can enhance the way that we relate to God, the way that we pray, and can in some ways fulfill some of that yearning and longing to sit in his presence and to know what it feels like to be loved unconditionally in all the different ways that we are. Now, of course, the journaling, the kind of thing that I do with people with colours and pictures and spreading paint, and it's all very messy and there's no right way of doing it, but playing around and sitting with this stuff is not just good for Bible study, it's good for lots of things. And Jeffrey, a couple of weeks ago in his sermon, was talking about gratitude and how important that is and how it's now been scientifically shown that when we embed that in our practice by things like creative journaling, we gain even more positive mental health outcomes from the focus. So I also run a sister organisation called Creative Journaling UK, which focuses on well-being. Anyone can get stuck in. There's no focus on the Bible in that side of my operation at all. And you may have been aware on social media, I've been doing a load of stuff around gratitude in the last couple of months, and I put a link to the workshop that I'm going to run in a couple of weeks in November on the Facebook group. So that's a whole other talk, really. But it's very interesting that the kind of searching and longing and yearning for a sense of self, for a sense of God, actually is now being shown scientifically to be helped by these kinds of creative activities, and lots of us have known that instinctively for, well, generations, basically. And there are lots of other amazing practices and organizations that do this stuff in different ways and support well-being through it, and I'm just one of many. And the other thing to say, I suppose, is that in doing the stuff around the Bible, it's not new. Think about the Book of Kells. Think about the amazing illustrations you used to get in medieval churches before the Reformation came and blotted them all out. Think about the way in which throughout history we have tried to illustrate the things that matter to us in pictures and colour. So this is not new, but it really works in such a powerful way, and it's so surprising to me that something as simple as just sticking some pictures on a page and writing some verses around them might bring us revelations, and yet it does. Yesterday, I got a message, and the timing was interesting since I was speaking to you today. It was from a minister's wife who lives far away from here, and she's been to a couple of my workshops over the last couple of years, but she mainly buys things online because she's not near Edinburgh. And she's dealing with a really interesting and challenging situation at home. One of her children is in extreme trouble. She's got the whole parish on her doorstep in her life, and she's trying through it all to manage her own anxiety and depression, and she's having CBT for that and finding all the homework really tough going. And she sent me this message only yesterday saying, "Hi, Jane. I just wanted you to know that creative journaling has been a lifesaver for me at the moment. And she then went on to talk about where she was at with her anxiety and the CBT and all the rest. The material for the homework was printed onto the most depressing recycled paper. Do you know what I mean about paper being depressing? Sometimes it really can be. So I started by outlining the pages with washi tape and highlighting and colouring some sections. And when I got to the page where I had to list the five most important things in my life, I went mad, just like you taught me, with stickers, post-its, paint, papers, postcards, etc. Now I have new insights. I really enjoyed the process. I could easily show her husband how I'm dealing with all this. Thank you so much for your workshops and materials, which are helping me so much to deal with the physical symptoms of stress and keeping me close to God's love. Wow. I mean, that is really humbling. I don't know anything about how to run a business. I'm desperately trying to make friends with social media. It's proving a tricky challenge. Accounting is a nightmare. Marketing and publicity, I'm nowhere. But messages like that make me think, go on, just keep trying. I really believe that when we stop and listen to our inner selves, we all have that longing, the longing that she's expressing to know God's love, the longing that the psalmist is expressing to be in his dwelling place, to be like that little sparrow just feeling utterly safe in that place of ultimate vulnerability as she lays her eggs. To know that God is blessing us and loving us and all those other amazing images we have of God throughout Scripture. So whether our lives is as tough as the person who wrote that message or not, you know, I think we all want to see the vibrant beauty of God's love. And we relate to that so much more easily when it comes in picture form. Words are really important. We have a lot of them in church, sometimes too many, of course. But pictures actually engage with our emotions. They speak to a different part of our brains. They change how we feel. And when we change how we feel, we change how we behave. And we grow as people. So my prayer is that whether you use your creativity, and it is innate in all of us because we are made in an image of a creator God, whether you use that creativity in one way or another, and it may be building bicycles rather than spreading paint, whatever it is for you, whether we use that creativity or not in our search for God, I pray that all of us may find that place of dwelling with him. Amen.
Oh,
Day that God has made,
we will rejoice and be glad.
We will not offer to God
offerings that cost us nothing.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. We will seek peace and pursue it in the name of the Trinity of Love, one God in perfect community. Amen.